But there have been
a lot of system strike in UK, US. It has been failures and failures and failures. Appointed consultants did all these
but
failures.
It's better
even the tender system at certain stage, it has been a failure in UK.
But better than going blind. I tell you,
the Iceland
law is not, the
drug
will go there.
I tell you, Mark, what is suitable in Penang?
Yes. Yeah. See, now we have, Mark, well, now we have this amount of money, right? Whether it's the loans or in terms of grant, we have this money to buy buses. Now, we are saying that we are going to own the buses. Okay? And we are saying that we are going to engage operator to operate on our behalf. We are going to look into long term of number one, how to control that. The most important thing is the operator, they do not go into pajak. See? They do not go into pajak because the operator may also in the end engage some drivers and then just pajak, you come and take the bus. Since the council or whoever privatized to me, so call up privatized the service to me, then I will again sublease to you, bajar to you. Then you every trip, every day you pay me 500 ringgit. But in this case, we are in a better position to take action. The moment we find out this, we can terminate them, and then we can have a system. Secondly, we want to make sure that the operator, the conductors and the bus driver, they should not come in touch with real cash money. How are we going to go around it? I think there are various systems which we are going through in internet and all that to study the various systems. Yes, electronic system is one of the systems. But if it is for a Penang like that, this system initially will cost about 1 million to have this system in place will cost 1 million ringgit first without
that,
anything.
That is only the cost of 3 buses. That's not a lot of money.
No, voila.
It's true, right? 3 buses.
No, whatever. I'm just telling you, lah. It cost about 3 million, about 1 million. Is it 1 million?
So what we
know where are the pitfalls and where are the weaknesses. So I can tell you that we have also talked to Prasarana,
Prasarana Negara,
where they have got a lot of experiences in terms of buying buses, what type of buses, in terms of what system to use, in terms of how to, you know, to manage all that. They have come to brief us once already. They are very good, they are very kind. I have got all the departments and all that, even Dr. SUK came, SFO came, everybody was here. The two YDPs were here. We briefed, got this Syarikat Prasarana Negara to come. They sent in their senior officers to brief us. They are giving us two various options and all that, and we are going to pay a visit to them. We have actually arranged for this Thursday, but somehow the SUK himself want to go. I can tell you how important it.
What company is this? This company runs a transport system.
Syarikat Prasarana Negara is the company established by the federal government to own all the assets of the public transport in the Klang Valley. Termasuk monorail, I think, monorail and RRT.
Can I just one question? Okay. You lease a bus to an operator. Suppose there's a breakdown, book this maintenance.
So we talk about this one first.
No, we are also...
These are the people, I love that.
We are aware.
Let me tell you, my drivers, you take a lorry to a workshop, take a brand new battery, sell it and put a second battery there, and you don't know anything about it. They would sell a brand new tire.
It is a purposely make...
I tell you there's 1,001 problems.
And breakdown, it's man created breakdown.
Because the service, the repairman. You know, I repair this cost $50, they put $100.
That's why I say this is not a simple.
I mean, we know it's not simple, right? Uh-huh. I think the only question we are raising is, what is the best way now that we know the CBLB and all the ideas have failed? Okay? Now you have come up with an idea where the state government or the local government can have control over the system. Okay. As you say, if the licensing, the licenses can be given to the local authority or a Perbadanan, a state body, then you can actually start working. What we are saying is that now you want to find an operating system that can be successful. And you say, you know, you've gone to various consultants. Mr. Rajan obviously has been exploring a lot of possibilities. But what we are saying is that this is a big job. And it may be worthwhile sourcing for a really competent consultant to set up the operations for me. Probably from some ASEAN country where they've already offered such services. Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, you know, they've got experience.
Even in the Klang Valley case, I make trips to KL very often and I use public transport there. And it's very obvious that the new buses look very good, but the buses that were first introduced under the Putra system are starting to look really bad and they are broken bumpers and all that. And I hope this does not become a repeat here where we always start up with spankingly new systems. And in 3-4 years time, it starts to deteriorate. You know?
We are learning from KL's experience. KL learned from other countries' experience. We are learning from them.
That's why maybe I would put stress on the whole thing about efficiency actually. Because I think in terms of efficiency, we should go as far as it takes to get the efficiency. Because the whole thing is so complex. So you have a person who is less than able to put in that kind of efficiency, it won't work. In fact, that's why I think early on when you say you must get somebody who is very experienced to do a public system, a public transport system. I just want to let you know, in Hong Kong, when they sack their old bus system, they get somebody who have never run a bus before. Why? The person is efficient. So they may take something to learn, some learning experience, but because they are efficient, they can put the system right. Afraid that if you say you must have somebody with experience, then choosing among those people who have been running the show. Those people who have been running the show, these are the experienced people. Yeah. Experienced in what?
Yeah.
Experienced in corruption. So let's be very clear that what kind of experienced operator we are talking about. Yeah. Because we cannot talk about experienced person more than we are talking about competent and efficient and corrupt-free.
What time frame are we looking at in moving into the system where the state would be the permit holder and own the buses and all?
We are working now is to, I have to get appointment with the minister to get him to agree that to issue this permit to us. But I must actually tell you that this concept which we have are thinking of implementing, we are trying to implement in two packages first. In the package 2 and package 3. For package 1 under Hin and Company, Hin KGM, we are thinking of getting the company called Interrunner, the minibus. They have actually a very responsible company, and they are running the minibus quite effectively, but except that they are running at a loss at the Bayang Baru area. So we're thinking of, instead of implementing the whole system together, we want to maintain one package where they will be given a chance to operate. And this company has very good background, and they wanted to buy buses, not new, brand new buses. They will buy buses of 3 years, 2 years, and their workers are, we have gone through it, their workers are quite efficient. We want to test it out. We want to test him out, and they are going to operate the Tanjung Bunga package 1. If everything goes on well, I think we will allow them to operate very soon. Very soon means it can be within probably 4 or 5 weeks time.
So which means KJNK will lose their license?
Yes. Yes. So we are looking
to... I have a concern...
Because our survey shows they are the worst operator so far.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
They are the worst. The numbers are staggering. Yeah, 86% no tickets, 78% bus connections are bad. Very bad.
I have a concern here actually. I think before we sort of jump into the way of doing things, it may really work out well. But I am just asking whether the council, given its past history of not being able to run its own bus service, whether the council will be upgraded in any way to be able to put itself in a position to be able to supervise?
The council during those days, when they ran the public transport system, they actually have all their staff as council staff, right from drivers, conductors, mechanical mechanics, checkers and all that, all are permanent staff of the council. So today it is not possible anymore. Because during that time, when the public transport was operated by the council as a department, there was a lot of, what was happening. And during that time, since it was operating at a loss of probably about 600,000 a month, a year. So during the 1990s, early 90s, this privatization was the in thing. So it was actually privatized out. Whether it's right or it is wrong, it has been done. So to go back to say that to operate as before, to have that sort of post and all that created in the council is not possible.
So what I'm concerned about is the efficiency. That's why I was already raising the issue of efficiency. Whether the council will be efficient enough to supervise the new
bus. The supervision will be true. The supervision will be true. As I told you, in terms of running according to schedule and according to the routines, social route you must run, you can actually control by only one person. That is to go through the GPS. Okay? The other things is maintenance of the buses. As you mentioned, we were looking into various options. We are actually getting in touch with the Syarikat Prasarana Negara to see from their experience whether the operating companies, whether they maintain as well, you know, and they must maintain through the scrutiny of our engineers. We must engage some good mechanics to have good mechanics to go through their buses, their conditions. They must follow a certain conditions, you know,
so and
they must maintain
the
buses.
The efficiency of this kind of supervision is the key to the whole thing. If they're not efficient, actually anything, as Ahmad said, would happen again. But if they're efficient, actually, it would have worked even a long time ago.
Me, whether efficient or not, I'm just saying that it must be, all of us must work together, Everybody play the role, you know.
So in that case, on that note, I think we should...
Whatever good system you put in place, you install in place, if there is no integrity, if there is no... commitment, I think you will fail. Integrity is the most important.
Yeah, that's why I am trying to bring up the point about representation from bus users, from professionals, from NGOs, from civil society, because people in these categories are really looking very closely.
Yeah.
I mean, they spend all that time to produce a report like this.
I thank you very much.
How about in the new system, is it possible in the supervisory role that there will be representation from bus users, from civil society, from NGOs?
I don't know how to put in yet at the moment.
Some kind of commitment from you that you will see.
We will look into how it can be fitted in so that your opinions and all that will be continuously taken into consideration.
For instance, I just give you a couple of points from the users which could have sort of reduce the weaknesses of the revamp bus system. For instance, the users, I think the users have a lot of objection to paying twice and then waiting twice in the new in the revamp bus system. If they were input from
not paying twice, but Bunkyong not paying, yeah. not you see, what we're introducing was the so-called the present system, but we are taking up most of the thing. It's from a small village.
I understand how it operates. What I mean is, with the kind of objection, actually there could be a solution in that if we combine the profit of the bus travel and then share it within the bus company, then the feeder bus and the stage bus won't have a conflict. Because right now, the stage bus also want the feeder bus also want to raise the fare. In fact, I heard somebody say that the minibus, before they stopped, they actually increased the fare from 50 cents to 80 cents. Anyway, so the idea is there could have been some measure to preempt these kind of problems that the bus users could raise. So if they raise that sort of thing, they have a place to input this kind of information to you, then your revamp bus system won't have that weakness from the beginning,
We know all this will be in our planning.
Yeah, but I think bus users were not, there were no points for bus users.
This was in our planning, in our planning. But just that when we were given the task, we were not given a free hand to plan, that's all. I mean, you know that it was how we were given that we must take all the present operating companies into consideration. If we were to plan, we say in each package, the stage bus and the mini bus must be the same operator. So that they can actually charge accordingly.
Yeah,
will be a conflict. That was in our planning, But the existing operator, the stage buses and the mini buses, they won't belong to the same company. But we have to put them together. We have to marry them, We have to marry them and then we must show that it doesn't work.
And the other thing, I think from the bus users also, I noticed that there are some very important rules deleted. For instance, Relau to Paya Trebong. So we met people who take a bus from Relau all the way to Kong Ta and then from Kong Ta back to Paya Trebong, which is only about 5 to 10 kilometers apart. Can you imagine why such a link, the link is so essential, why the link is taken off? I think the only reason to explain that is because the users were not given a chance to give that feedback. If there's a user sitting in the committee, they'll bang the table and they'll take control to make sure that the rules are there.
We are all aware of this.
Explain to me why it was cut off.
Okay.
Tell me why.
When the minibuses they operate, they cannot run. They are nobody going in the bus. Either there are two, three passengers, three, four passengers. For instance, we say that we have actually created one route from Gurney Drive to go to Ai Tam Street. So that people from this area can go to Ai Tam, to go Ai Tam. But when they started that route, it's only four passengers, two passengers, three passengers.
I'm from Relau. Okay. Originally, you introduced one bus straight to Kong Ta. And after that, 2 weeks after that, you said we have to take the minibus from Relau to Bukit Jambul and Bukit Jambul to Kong Ta. And I'm working here, and I have to take
buses.
So three buses.
That means return trip is six buses.
Previously, you took two buses.
Yeah, two buses.
Now you're taking three buses.
Three buses.
That is because another trip you're taking from Bukit Jambul to
Relau. Relau to Bukit Jambul, Bukit Jambul to Kong Ta.
We had no other option but to include the third minibus trip from
Bukit Jambu to Relau. But we are going to replace it with one bus. Because we have proven to the government that people...
We will do it. When we introduce it, the minibus, we always ask that question, and I heard this answer until today.
When did you hear this? Can you tell me? Who told you this? Who told you? We were all the while saying that when the minibus is taken off the road, we will replace it with the stage bus. That is our original intention. And now we are going to do it because Interrunner is going to take over package 1 and we are allowing the stage buses to penetrate directly into Relau.
Be aware that Relau, there's a lot of people taking bus from Relau.
We went to the site from 5:30 a.m. Dr. Ting and myself with the operator, with the LPKP chairman from 5:30 to Relau, to Bukit Jambu complex, to Bayan Baru Sunshine. We know of the problem. We know how many people are taking buses on Relau. There's quite a number of buses. But we need to introduce the minibus temporarily to...
But temporarily and when?
Now anytime, once Interrunner goes to package 1, like Dr. Singh said, within 4 or 5 weeks, we will...
Today it is not for us to answer to this individual bus.
We work together.
That's why I say proactively. We say that we come to inform you. Isn't it?
She informing you also.
We know. I mean, we know this. When? I mean, we are trying our best. You know how to do this one.
We just implemented it a few months.
I think she's saying the frustration has been.
I know. We understand.
That's the underlying feeling.
That's why we make this bold move to implement this. Although we know it would not fully succeed, but we make it happen. Now we have proven that we need to measure up to all these problems brought up by all of you.
Why must always the bus users be shortchanged by the state? Why must
How did we shortchange?
There's a sacrificial lamb, actually, because you want to get rid of the minibus, you make them suffer.
No. We want improvement for you. That's why we had to do this. If we had not done this, we have not proven anything.
The weaknesses of the minibus is already all there for people to see, no need to prove anymore. We don't have to prove anymore.
The federal government had refused all our plans. Even your plans were put forward. The first, we initiated the tender plan few years ago.
I think, your problem, we understand. Kita tahu. That I can assure you that we are actually looking into how to extend from Bukit Jambu to Relau by stage buses. Because there are a lot of people traveling from Relau to Bukit Jambu. So that the minibus itself actually is not enough and it costs some trouble, some inconvenience.
We will try to do it. I tell you, as soon as possible, we'll try to get one bus to Relau. Maybe we'll remove minibus.
We are dealing. We are dealing with a problem where we have no power, and then we are dealing with a problem where the bus is not owned by us, The permit is not issued by us, The bus is not owned by us, We are dealing with a problem.
No, but the idea is the state government is in all the position to give the feedback necessary to the federal agency. Nobody else is in a higher position.